Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another spectacular episode of The Cinephiles. I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And you are more than welcome to join us in the studio. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735 or hit us up on our live feed on Behind the Screen Radio Show's Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook, hit us up. Give us a like and a follow. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like and a follow. On all of our pages, there is a link to the website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. There's a bunch of interesting things on the website. Go check it out. We are also on YouTube. Wikicuriosity Media, so go check us out. You can also download and listen to all of our archived shows at either blogtalkradio.com/Wikicuriosity Media or on iTunes at Wikicuriosity Media. If you hit up iTunes, remember that all of our shows are in alphabetical order, so just scroll down to the one that you like, and they go from oldest to most recent on the app, so you'll have to check those out. All right, so this is the last Wednesday before Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Do you have any big plans for Halloween?
No, I don't think I do. My neighborhood is very quiet on Halloween night, so probably won't get candy. It'd be kind of weird if I, an adult, went trick-or-treating by myself, so I won't be doing that. Yeah, I'll probably just stay inside and watch a movie, play Xbox with some friends. Who knows? Be on the lookout for serial killers wearing Captain Kirk masks.
Okay. I can see that.
Maybe a hockey mask here and there.
Yeah, or a glove with some long fingers on it. Some knives.
For some reason, they only show up that night.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm free to be killed any other night. I mean,
why do you have to come
to be
only on Halloween? Why can't you come kill me any other night? Although
yeah.
Jason does come on Friday the 13th, so there's that.
Yeah, he's a bit more open with his, dates and stuff he can go kill people on.
Yeah, Freddy will only kill you in your dreams, so, if you can learn to control your dreams, you're good.
Yeah.
So.
It's all fun and games until Freddy can't kill the hippie that knows how to lucid dream.
Right? I mean, all you got to do is take some fucking pills or something. You'll be all right.
You'll be all right. Yeah. You'll live. Maybe.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Yeah. Either way. So, of course, I'm taking the kids out. We're going to go trick-or-treating. Saturday I am finishing up Saturday, and Sunday morning I'll be finishing up the decorations for the front yard. So, because there's one or two that I want to put out on Halloween. So, but yeah. So I'll be doing that, and then, you know, taking the kids around and getting candy.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Should be a lot of fun, hopefully. But
anyway, speaking of Halloween, did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, speaking of Halloween. So there was an article that came out that I just kind of skimmed through. I didn't read the whole article. I read it
like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. So it's kind of a bullshit article. First off, I want to go on record by saying, let's, as a society, let's kind of get over ourselves, because we are really starting to nitpick everything and trying to find fault in everything. Because, and it's starting to get ridiculous, because we're looking at things that are not a big deal and making them a big deal. Case in point, in, I think it was Toy Story 4, there were people that were in an uproar because of the lesbian couple in the background picking up their child from school. I think it was Toy Story 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably. I haven't watched it.
Okay. That came out when the movie came out. And I mean, seriously, who honestly really gives a fuck? Lesbian couple, gay couple. I mean, we've had, you know, gay couples featured on TV shows. We've had them featured in commercials. And, I mean, I'm not singling them out, but that seems to be the focus of pretty much all these people's hatred right now. And honestly, what fucking business is it of yours? Let's be honest. I mean,
yeah, it's not like they don't exist. I don't see the problem of them being shown in a show or whatever.
As part of normal society.
Yeah, getting angry about it isn't really, I mean, your beliefs or whatever. We're not trying to force you to believe a certain type of way, but the facts are there. They exist. They can be represented in whatever way they want by whoever they want, and that's it. That's final. Facts are the facts. They exist.
Let's be honest.
You can't ignore it.
No. And homosexuality has been around since the dawn of time. I mean, there have been great civilizations that didn't look at love and sex as a man and woman thing. Roman orgies were man on man on woman, multiple men on multiple women and multiple men. I mean, it was just a love fest. I mean, that's really all it was. It was just you know, everybody having fun. This whole notion that homosexuality is wrong literally only came about when Christianity started to become a more popular religion. And Islam, you know, those two religions are the two biggest religions that look down upon homosexuality, and to be honest, I don't really give a fuck about your religion. So let's leave
sexuality.
It alone.
I really don't care. Just leave me
well,
alone.
No. I mean, I don't care. But
the reason why we bring this up is because Yahoo News put out an article with a big old title, Michael Myers is homophobic. And,
yeah,
I'd have to disagree.
He's homo. Okay, so minor spoilers for the new movie, Halloween Kills. I mean, we're not going to tell the whole movie, but we are
going to talk about
this part. Michael kills a bunch of people. A bunch of people get pissed. And, I mean, you know, it's
Michael kills a bunch of people. A bunch of people die.
Yeah, pretty much. That's Halloween Kills. But they were saying – right? So anyway, the article is talking about how Michael Myers is homophobic because he kills a gay couple in their house. When in actuality, Michael Myers does not discriminate when it comes to killing.
He killed everybody in this movie.
Literally killed everybody.
He killed a black woman, a white guy. He killed some children. He killed everybody.
He killed a black man. And the fact that he killed a gay couple was not because they were gay. Let's put that out there first. He didn't kill
them. They were in his house.
He killed them because they were in his house. That's literally
the
reason
why he killed them.
They were
respectful about it, though. Out of all the kills in that whole movie, that was probably the most respectful and, like, most tame kill. Like, he didn't, like, totally open them up and, you know, gut them and cut their heads off and, like, totally mangle their bodies. He literally stabbed them, like, two or three times, if that. He stabbed the one once, and the other guy twice because he was fighting. And, you know, if Michael Myers is in your house, you just might as well
run. I lost you. I lost your sound. I can't hear you.
The call dropped.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Some minor technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Drifted down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Okay, I know that was a short break, but that's okay. We're back in. A few minor difficulties. Nothing that, you know, didn't take a whole lot of time to fix.
Nope.
But anyway. So he didn't discriminate at all. It's not like he walked into the house and said, oh, my God, you're a bunch, you know, you're a gay couple. I'm going to kill you. No, it was.
Gays in my house? Unacceptable.
What?
And then he guts them and, you know, totally destroys their bodies.
Right.
No, he literally stabbed them once, and he even laid them next to each other so they could die together and put on the record that they were listening to. That was the most peaceful and tame death in the whole Halloween series. I don't see what the problem was.
The most respectful death in any slasher film that I have ever seen. And I know slasher films because I love slasher films.
Like, even the one that got killed, he was like, welcome home, Michael. Here I am. And he was like, okay, sink, you're dead.
Right?
Out
of
my
house. The whole scene was, yeah, it was killing, but it wasn't brutal. It's not like he sodomized them. Let's be honest.
He
literally burst
the little kids. So that one boy in the skull mask.
He
literally
picked up
captivated four kids.
He literally picked up a kid and put him on a spike, jaw first.
Yeah.
In the first movie. I mean,
it's pretty tame compared to the other killers.
Brutal.
Just in the just in these two movies, it's pretty tame. And you can even see in the trailer there was far worse kills. A firefighter getting stabbed through the mask with a crowbar.
My God. That first scene.
That was that John Wick. That reminded me so much of John Wick fighting.
That was some John
somebody
Wick
killed
shit,
Michael Myers' dog.
Jesus.
Someone killed his dog and took his Mustang. He's on a war path.
Yeah. So, no, he's not homophobic for killing a gay couple. He's not racist because he killed a black man and a black woman.
He hates
the
everybody.
The thing is, if the only people that he killed were white, then everybody would be claiming that he's racist.
I mean, the only Seriously. People he did kill for 40 years were white.
I mean, that's not true. He killed LL Cool J.
Well, yeah, there were some outliers, but for the past 40 years, he's killed a majority of just white people.
Right.
Now, is that because he only killed white people? No, that's because they only casted white people, but...
It's because white people are the only ones dumb enough to go back to a murder scene.
Yeah, they're dumb enough to go to Michael Myers' house with, you know, just a handgun thinking it's going to kill Michael Myers.
Right.
You silly rabbit.
In the case of Friday the 13th, it's the white people are the only ones dumb enough to go back to Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
So... You know, let's put credit where credit is due. If you're dumb enough to be in the path of these slasher, supernatural, serial killer type people, then you're gonna die. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was watching this. I was thinking, if Michael Myers is back, either I'm gonna move on the other side of town or stay on the other side of town for that night, or I'm moving out of town. Michael Myers doesn't care if you move out of town. He's not going to come hunt you down unless you're Laurie Strode.
And she literally moved out of town.
Yeah. But you see, I'm not Laurie Strode. Michael Myers doesn't care about me.
No. Or I'm just going to stay out of his way.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to lock myself in my house. He's not coming after me. I'm not one of the people that were there when he died. I wasn't a child that saw him. We lost you again. Seems like we're having a lot of technical difficulties tonight. I don't know what's going on with... I don't know what's going on. We're having issues on both ends. So...
I can't reach the Blog Talk website.
We're going to take a break real quick.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Drifting down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turn your back to me and say, I can't fly.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Okay, and we're back. Hopefully, you know, for the rest of the show, hopefully we don't have any more issues.
Hopefully.
I don't think it's a hardware problem. I think it was a software problem. So, or a website issue. So, anyway. All right. So tonight, we're going to discuss a brief history of the movie theater in American culture. Because here recently, especially with the advent of COVID and streaming services and stuff like that, the movie theater is starting to almost become a thing of the past.
Yeah.
So
almost. I think it'll hang in there for a little bit.
I hope so. So before, like, permanent motion picture theaters and stuff like that, there were, what are they called? I had them right here. Hold on. Let me get my notes back up. Kinetoscopes. And these were big boxes that you look into and had a series of pictures in, like, in different forms of movement for the whatever it was trying to show. And what they would do is it would shine a light in there and it would spin. And you'd look in there, and while it spun and the light flashed, it would look like the person is moving, or the object is moving, or something was going on.
It was a precursor to the stop motion picture.
The biggest issue with that was that only one person couldn't, you know, watch it at a time. It was a cool invention, and it you know, endured its fame in parlors around the world, but people wanted more. You know, you wanted to be able to enjoy these with other people. And the first to present projected moving pictures to a paying audience were the Lumiere brothers in December 1895 in Paris, France. They used a device called the cinematograph, which was a camera, a projector, and a film printer all in one. Basically, what it did is it projected reels of individual pictures that became the modern standard for a long time until digital came about. And it, you know, would project it up on the screen with a lens and like a light bulb behind it. And then, you know, in the 1900s, the motion picture came to be. You know, Edison with his camera and stuff like that.
There's a guy before Edison that had the camera, but he went missing in Europe, and he was never able to bring his patent to court to get patented, and Edison jumped on it. And nobody knows what happened to him. He went missing, and nobody knows where he went. Nothing.
Conspiracy thing? Or conspiracy theory, maybe?
Maybe, but his family tried to take it to court to sue Edison. That didn't work out very well. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all know that Edison didn't really come up with all of his inventions. A lot of them were stolen.
Yeah, he just got the patent first.
Yeah. So between 1900 and 1919, a lot of these, so a lot of like independent theaters came, you know, were starting to pop up, and these motion pictures, which were actually very short. The longest at the time was The Great Train Robbery from 1903, which was 12 minutes and long, which was 12 minutes long. And that was long at the time.
I know, it's just weird to think. Wait, our TV shows aren't even that short anymore. Like, the average for a TV show is, what?
Minimum 40 to 45 minutes.
Minimum 15 minutes, maximum an hour.
Yeah.
It's just weird. You want to go see a movie? It'll take 15 minutes. We'll be right back home.
But, I mean, it wasn't a big thing. And a lot of these, a lot of tickets sold for a nickel a piece. You know?
A nickel. We went from a nickel for 15 minutes of, you know, a train ride to $15 for 2 hours. It's just strange.
Sorry about that. I'm back. Cat wanted out of the office. Wanted out of the studio. But yeah. But yeah, they were 5 cents a pop for, you know, for each individual ticket, which if you look at it in...
It's a weekly wage back then. I gotta save up this week for a nickel.
If you look at it in today's money, it's probably about $1 or $2, which isn't bad. And then, you know, and then over time, of course, as movies started getting longer and stuff like that, ticket prices went up to 10 cents or more. After the 1920s, like during, really during the World War II eras, when theaters really took off, like big, huge movie theaters, you know, like people could go and sit in a theater. They offered stadium seating. Sorry, my notes are like all over the place right now. In 1953, stereophonic sound was added. The seats that we were talking about last week, the pivoted seats, where they pop up and down, those were actually invented in 1931. It was to allow people to remain seated while other patrons easily passed in front of them. And then it became standard in pretty much all U.S. theaters.
Yeah. The actual theater, not the movie theater, but the theater stems back to ages. It's been around forever, you know, plays and stuff like that. So I think integrating movies and, you know, motion picture into that, you know, I think those go
hand in hand. Yeah.
Because you get the actors from the plays and you get the videos from this, and it's just a digital play.
Yeah.
And now we have CGI. That doesn't require actors anymore.
Pretty much. So as these movie theaters began to grow, it became less of just a place to just, you know, go watch a 15, 20 minute, maybe hour long movie into this big extravagant affair. The movie palace was born. These huge, elaborate buildings that were constructed simply just to, you know, house these movies. And it was a whole experience. It became more than just an afternoon outing. It was an exciting experience. These movie palaces were and I'm sure you've seen them on like old TV shows and old movies, and you may have even seen some in person. They were decorated ornately. You know, they had all the trim. The seats were plush. They had the curtains that would pull back, and you'd have the movie screen on. You know, you'd have the movie screen behind the curtain. I mean, it was just it was so magnificent. You know, you would have the bottom row, and then you'd have your top row, then you'd have the projector. And these places were fabulous, just honestly works of art. And that's something that we've kind of gotten away from in modern theaters. You know, it's become more about functionality than it has, you know, the experience of going to a movie.
Which, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I would, you know, if I'm being honest, I'd rather take comfort and a good movie experience over, you know, extravagant movie palace, you know, movie experience. But if you can get the best of both worlds, then go for it.
Yeah. And I mean, some of these movie palaces, you know, they still exist. In some of these, you know, like smaller, movie houses, still exist. There's one here in Knoxville that they don't play new run movies. They do a lot of the older movies and stuff, but it still has the essence and feel of the old, like movie palaces and stuff. Where when you walk into a new, like when I go into our theater here, I walk in and the foyer is just huge. You know, you've got the ticket counter, then you've got the concession stand, and you've got a couple concession stands, and then you've got video games up on the top, and you know, and it's beautiful in a modern sense, but I do miss the elegance of going to an actual theater house, not just a movie theater, but a theater house.
I feel like the price goes into a thing to like into consideration. I feel like if we went to a movie palace, you would just go to it and watch a movie. You pay however much, I don't know how much it would be, but you pay however much and then boom. But if you go to like a more modern movie theater, like you were saying, there's food, restaurant, games, you're spending so much money if you wish to do those things. You're spending so much money on an experience, but it's convenient to have it all in one spot. But if I'm just going to go watch a movie, I don't care about the movies and games and stuff. Games and food and stuff.
Right. And I'm with you on that one. I cannot talk today. So there is a movie theater here in Knoxville that it's called the Cinnabar. And we talked about it a little bit last week. Where you can literally sit down in the theater, you can order your food, and you can eat right there. They've got the tables that come up, the chairs pop up where you've got the lounge type chair and stuff like that. And while that is, it's a good experience to do every once in a while. It can be quite
convenient.
It is, but it can be quite costly. The food is way overpriced, obviously.
Yeah.
But I really do miss, because I fully believe that going to a movie theater and going to see a movie in a theater should be an experience.
Right. So, you know, I hate to kind of go off the path, but it just popped into my mind. I went and saw Halloween Kills the other day in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went and saw it with my mother. She recently had a surgery. She can't eat certain foods, so she can't eat the foods at the... And there's certain times she has to eat and stuff, so she had to eat at the theater. obviously we snuck snacks in. I didn't eat anything because I don't do snacks at the theater. But it was, you know, Halloween Kills isn't, you know, there's not a lot of explosions and stuff. It's not a loud movie. And there was very few people in there. And right behind us, I hate to call people out, but right behind us was a very loud group of people. They were all in one group. They were very loud. And it was kind of annoying. But the funny part was my mom had a protein bar type thing that she had to eat. And when she opened it, it was at a very quiet part. So it was loud for no reason. She would open a little bit and she had to stop. And she opened it some more, and then she had to stop. So she just said, forget it. She tore it open, and it crinkled, and, you know, it was loud. But nobody cared, because the people behind us were coughing and, you know, being loud, you know, movie theater loud. They weren't, like, screaming or nothing, but they just weren't being quiet. I was like, oh, my God, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Stop talking. Stop coughing. So.
Master, I shit my butthole.
Okay.
If you didn't know that, that was our producer. That was our stage. That was our producer. Anyway.
A very professional and mature stage producer.
Yeah, obviously. So going off of those lines, there was a time, I don't remember what movie I went to go see. I honestly want to say it was Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know why that movie sticks in my head. I don't know why I would have gone to the theaters to see that. Or maybe that was like,
Dukes of Hazzard.
I mean, yeah, but you know, maybe that was one of the previews. The theater was pretty crowded. And I don't remember who I was with at the time. But we were sitting, I mean, the movie theater was packed. I'm talking like packed. And there were, you know, a bunch of rowdy little kids up front, you know, just being stupid and laughing and yelling and, you know, just being little assholes. And everybody in the theater was obviously getting annoyed. And I think somebody said, hey, why don't you be quiet or something? And they yelled back, hey, shut up. And I kind of just stood up, not all the way stood up, you know, but kind of leaned over. And yelled right at them. I was like, hey, shut the fuck up. And they all turned around and looked. And then just kind of quieted down and sat down. I know it's not funny, but, you know, that was my, you know, shut people up in the theater moment.
Yeah. You know, I think movie theater etiquette has kind of went extinct. People don't really care about, you know, movies, because some people go to watch a movie and it's a date night and it's, oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm on a date, whatever. Like, they're not focused on the movie. They're focused on the date. Some people go and watch a movie and it's like, you know, they're watching a Marvel movie. They're in it. They're paying attention because they got to figure out what's going on. And they're really into the movie. Well, those are the people that are quiet and respectful. And then you just got people that don't care. Oh, you want to go watch a movie? Yeah, sure, whatever. I heard there's a new Marvel movie. Oh, okay, whatever. And then they gasp and laugh and, you know, they're enjoying the movie, but there's a certain etiquette you have to withhold in the movie theater. And I think that's just gone. Nobody cares anymore.
There's a really bad lack of etiquette in society, period. At the height of, you know, movie theater popularity, back in like World War II, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, the movie theater was not so you didn't just go to the theater to watch a movie. This is where you had your newsreels of what was going on overseas, because we didn't have television. And while you got your news on the radio, it was cool to watch news clips on the big screen. So you would go and you would watch things that were happening overseas. And this is where you got your news clips, and this is where you watched, you know, Bugs Bunny, because this would all be precursors to the actual movie. Because you'd have your news clips and you'd have your cartoons and stuff. And it was a fully, like I said, it was a fully immersive experience. It wasn't just, hey, let's go watch a movie. It was, let's go find out what's happening with our boys overseas. Let's watch the newest, you know, Bugs Bunny cartoon. Is Elmer Fudd going to actually shoot him?
Is Donald Duck still a Nazi? Is Mickey back on the big screen?
And then you got the movie, and you're being summoned, producer. The producer walked into the studio for a minute. And that's what I really miss about the theater. You know, okay, so let me back that up. I'm not old enough to know those times, first off. But when I go to the theater, because a lot of movies I can wait and watch online. You know, I'll just wait until they come out and then stream them on whatever platform they come on, or get early access on Prime and whatever. We have that ability now. We have that technology where you don't have to go to the theater. I go to the theater for the experience. I love going to the movie theater. I loved it as a kid. It didn't matter if the movie theater was in an auditorium. It didn't matter if it was a drive-in. It didn't matter if I was sitting on cold metal bleachers while it's raining on me outside in an old parking lot. It doesn't matter. For me, it's all about the experience of going to the theater, walking in and seeing the grand, you know, the grand foyer. It's getting in line and getting the movie theater popcorn and getting the soda and sitting there completely entranced with this huge screen in front of you, sound just all around you. You are completely, totally immersed in this world. And you're sitting there and you're eating bite after bite of popcorn. Your hands are greasy from the extra of butter that you have loaded onto your popcorn. You've got these little bitty half-ply napkins that fall apart when you touch them, but you have a whole stack of them. So
you grabbed 150 of them, so it doesn't matter.
Right? Or you're wearing jeans and you just wipe them off, and it doesn't matter because they're not going to
certain ratio. For every one pump of butter, you get four extra napkins.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and then you have your soda that, or you get the medium soda because you don't want to get down to the bottom of it and have that empty soda sound. You're not going to drink the whole thing because you don't want to pee in the middle of the movie.
And so by chance you do drink the whole thing, you take the cap off and you eat the ice.
Oh yeah,
you know,
of course.
You get even more annoying in the theater.
Yeah. But it's all about that experience, and it's all about being with people that are enjoying the experience with you. And that's what the theater is for me. It's not just a place to hang out on a Friday night. You know, it's not just a date night. When Miss Angel and I go to the theater, it's not because it's a cheap date or, you know, it's an easy date. There are 100 different things around here that we could do for a date. I am a cinephile. I love movies. I love the movie experience. If I could, I would have my own theater in my house. And at some point, I plan on it. But I love the complete and total experience of going to the movies, because it's finding a place to park. It's walking to the theater. It's getting excited to see a new movie. It's the previews. It's the commercials right before the previews. You know, it's the little quiz, you know, the little quizzes that they put up before, you know, before anything starts. It's them telling you to silence your cell phones. Everything.
I actually really like those. The silence your phone things. You think it's a commercial or a preview, and you're like, oh, this is a different movie. And then, you know, Flo from Progressive pops around the corner. Make sure you silence your phone during the picture. Or it's an M&M saying, hey, please silence your phone.
Shut the fuck up, people. And that's what we've gone away from. You know, we've gone away from the experience of going to the movies, and it's a cheap, or not cheap anymore. Which is sad. Because it should be something that more people do more often. And you know, there are ways to get cheap movies. Like we were saying last week, Regal has they have an app and they have a program where you spend $20 a month and you can literally see any movie, anytime, as many as you want, as long as you're paying that $20. And if you're smart about it, and you also get discounts at concessions. And if you're smart about it, you'll utilize it. You know, this week alone, I'm going to go see two movies. I'm going Thursday night and I'm going Saturday night. I've literally just paid for my tickets with that $20. Because both of those nights would have cost me about $25, just me by myself. So I literally paid for my tickets already. You know, the app's already, the subscription service is already paid for itself, not to mention the discounts at the concession stand. So
I figured out up here at the theater we go to, the good theater, the prices for tickets are insanely affordable. I think down there you said it was like $10, $12 for a ticket.
So for an average ticket, for just a basic ticket, a basic adult ticket, it's $12.25. And then it goes up in price for like the RPX and the 3D and the IMAX and stuff like that, obviously.
Ours,
the base price is $12.95.
Ours for adult is $7.50.
Damn.
For adult, for student, $5.50.
Now that's cheap.
Yeah, and it's a good theater. Like, it's not like, you know, the Pinnacle or the Cinnabar. It's nothing crazy like that. But the quality of the seats, the quality of the screen, quality of the sound, can't beat it. You know, it's for the price at least. It's nice,
right?
And,
right.
You know, it's not like a run-down movie theater. It's a clean theater. It's well-run. And it's not expensive. That might be a front for money laundering. I don't know. But for the price of the tickets and for the quality of the movie, I'm not going to complain. Continue laundering your money. I don't care.
As long as I get to watch my movie.
Yeah, just don't get busted in the middle of a movie, okay?
Right, because
that would suck.
Especially right in the middle of, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man No Way Home or some shit.
I'd be so mad.
Yeah. And that's another benefit of the app, is I can get new movies I get first pick.
Yeah.
You get first pick. Like, so this week, Thursday night, I'm going to go see Antlers because it's a new screening. It's a new movie. It's a pre-screen. And then Saturday, I'm going to go see Last Night in Soho.
There's a lot of good movies that came out this month.
Yeah.
A lot of good movies, actually.
And those are two brand new movies that are just being released Friday.
Yeah, I think the whole movie theater experience is, I wouldn't say it's dying because of streaming services, because some services don't have, or not services, but some companies don't have a streaming service. Sony doesn't have a streaming service.
I don't think that's the only one I can think of.
I thought Universal fell under the umbrella of Paramount. Nope, never mind.
Those are two different.
Universal is owned by somebody, though. I thought all the Universal movies were on a streaming service. It might be Peacock. They're split up between different streaming services, but you can find most Universal movies on streaming services.
Okay, they're owned by Comcast through NBC Universal.
So it'd be Peacock.
NBC. Yeah, which is why I was able to watch Halloween Kills at home.
Yeah, so, you know, Universal has their streaming service, quote-unquote. Sony, I think, is the only one that doesn't have a streaming service. And when movies like Spider-Man come out and Venom, they're making a lot of money because those are big-name movies.
Yeah.
And they're making a lot of money at box office. Are they making Avengers Endgame and Avengers-type money? No way. But they're making more money than most other companies. Because No Way Home's not going to come out on Disney Plus for, like, premium access. Venom didn't. You know, there's...
Yeah.
Would it be smart for Sony to do a streaming service type thing? I would say no. Because with an exclusive, like Spider-Man, you're really going to force people to go to a theater, and they're spending somewhere from $5 to, you know, $30 on just a ticket, depending on what state you live in, what theater you go to.
Well, the thing is Sony doesn't really have – so the streaming services, a lot of their content is going to be like TV shows. That's where they get the viewership and the constant – you know, the constant numbers is TV shows because people will go back and continue to watch episodes of that show. Sony – I don't think Sony does a lot of or any TV shows, or here in America at least. I don't think they put out.
I don't think they do. I think they might. They may produce certain shows and like help make them, like with sound and whatnot. But I don't think they have their own exclusive shows. I think they stick to movies, and even their movies, it's like superhero movies, kid movies. Things like that.
I'm trying to see if they have any TV shows for Sony Pictures.
I don't think so. At least there's not any big ones that I can think of.
Okay, so they do put them out, but they put them out through other companies. Like Seinfeld was Sony Pictures, but it was put out through NBC. The Good Doctor. So they have their hand. They do Cobra Kai, which is exclusive to Netflix. So they have their hand in TV shows. But
I don't think Sony's a big enough company to sustain a gaming console, phones, computers. movies, TV shows, they're not that big yet. Like, no. Google doesn't even do that. Amazon doesn't do that. At least not to, like, the highest quality that they... I think the only company that has their hand in everything is probably Apple. And they're not even that far into it. Like, they don't produce their own movies.
Yeah.
That go on the big screen.
No, they are Apple exclusives.
Yeah.
So... okay, so I know we've talked about it before a little bit, but I wanted to talk about it a little more in depth because that's what tonight's show is about. Do you think right now movie theaters are suffering because of these studios releasing their movies to streaming services?
Touched on it a little bit last week. I don't think so. It's kind of like a yin and yang situation. Because you take a movie studio like HBO Max, and they release a movie. Let's say they release Dune, like they did, to a streaming platform and movie theaters. They'll make their money from the streaming platform because that's direct money that they're going to get. They don't have to go through any deals or any cuts or anything. But movie theaters have found a way to undercut studios a little bit. Like you said, with the subscription service, I don't believe any of that money from that subscription service goes to the companies. If it does, it's a very, very small percentage. Because a company like HBO Max was like, well, we're just going to release it exclusively, you know. We'll have our subscription, we'll release it to our subscription service, you release it box office. And they thought that they were tricking the movie theaters. But the movie theaters were like, well, we'll have our subscription service and we'll release it box office. So they're making money from subscription service and box office, and you have to pay like, what, a $2 work fee?
Yeah, it's like a $2 convenience fee and then taxes, obviously. So I do pay, like if I was going by myself, it would maybe cost me $5.
Yeah, so they're making money. They're making that $5. Either way, they're making $5 out of anybody that walks in that door and watches a movie. Minimum $5. How much is HBO making? They're making... how much is a subscription? Like $10 a month?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
So say it's $10 a month, and they're making that from whoever, and people aren't just getting the subscription service just for the movie. They're getting all these other things. So both companies, this is a win-win-win situation for every – well, a win-win-win-lose situation. Everybody's winning besides the cast and crew. Cast and crew aren't getting their cut of what's being made, of what's really being made. I don't think that's a problem with HBO. I think HBO is pretty upfront about their deals with their actors and cast and crew. Disney, not so much. Not just with Scarlett Johansson, but Emily Blunt and I believe Dwayne Johnson have come out and said that they weren't getting paid what they were actually supposed to be paid because of the premium fee.
Yeah, they're not getting paid from the profits from the streaming service. They're only getting box office paid.
If movie theaters and subscription services can work together, they could make money. They both could make money. People like us who have the subscription services, or like you that have both, they're making money. Or you're not making money, but you're not having to spend all that much that you were before. If anything, you're spending less than what you were before. And if they can just, you know, make better deals with their cast and crew, I think HBO got it down pat. I haven't heard of anybody complaining about their pay with HBO is going on, or I should say Warner Brothers, because they're the overall thing.
Yeah.
But I think they really knocked it out of the park with that. I just think if Disney and other, like Universal, if they could really get their act together, it'd be great. I think it could be a quadruple win situation for everybody. And I don't think anybody would suffer, because if you want to go watch a movie, hey, you know what? It'd be fun if we went out and watched a movie tonight. Okay. What if we just stayed in and watched the movie? Okay. Well, I don't have the streaming service. Okay, I guess we're going out, or you know, free trial, premium, whatever. People will have so many different options. And I don't think it'll kill the movie theaters. I think over time, people will start getting lazy and, you know, not want to go out to the movie theater. But it's always an experience. It's like going to Disneyland or an amusement park. It's always an experience. Like, people aren't that lazy to not go to Disneyland. I don't think people are that lazy to not go to the movie theaters, especially if it's, you know, more cost efficient.
Right.
So I don't think the movie theaters will die anytime soon. I just think there's going to be more options for watching movies that people will have. And I think it's a good thing, because some people can't get out of the house, whether it's health or, you know, other reasons. I like it. I'm excited for what it has, as long as they can find a good balance. Like I said before, the yin and yang. They got to find a good balance with it.
So one of the things that I'm looking at when that question pops up is, number one, there are people that want to see these movies but don't have the streaming services. Like Halloween Kills. It was released on Peacock. Not everybody has Peacock. So if we look at the biggest streaming services out there, the most popular, you've got Netflix, obviously, you've got Hulu, and then you've got Disney Plus and HBO Max. Those are the four biggest streaming services out there. Netflix and Hulu don't do big releases. They are pretty much, I would say, generic, not privately owned.
Hulu's under the Disney umbrella.
That's right. So it's
just a mature, not really mature, but it's a different platform than Disney Plus that they can stream other things on that aren't necessarily Disney friendly. But no, they don't do exclusive movies or anything like that.
They don't do new releases. So you've got the two biggest, which is Disney Plus and HBO Max.
Yeah.
Disney Plus does the early access for $20 a month, or the $20 for the movie, and then HBO Max releases it for 30 days. What I'm looking at is that people aren't going to want to spend this monthly subscription, because let's be honest, when most people get a monthly subscription, they say, oh, I'm just going to do it for the free 30-day trial.
But they use a different email each time.
Well, yeah, there's that. But, you know, people tend to forget about the subscriptions that they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still going to get their money. But, you know, a lot of these people won't get these streaming services because they don't want to pay that monthly charge. So
I think they're just – some people are scared to – because honestly, I think people should just do away with cable. Like, I know you guys did it. I think my couple of my buddies did it. I think if people just did away with cable and did away with that charge, it would balance out, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's one of the biggest reasons why people don't have streaming services. That was my biggest reason for not getting a bunch of streaming services, because I had cable, I had Netflix and Hulu, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then it honestly took me a long time to get away from cable, because I liked live TV.
Yeah, this might be a generational thing, but I don't think my generation cares about cable TV. I haven't had a cable box in my room forever. That might sound a little bit, you know, first world, you know, privilege, but I don't care about what's on cable TV. If I want a show, I will turn on HBO. I will turn on Disney. I will find a streaming service that has a show that I like, and I'll watch it. My parents haven't, or my folks up here haven't got that yet, because there's still shows that they like on cable TV that aren't on streaming services, and they haven't figured out the whole, you know, you can binge a show type of thing.
So you're saying your parents up there who are younger than me are older than me?
Kind of, yeah. They just haven't got with the times yet. They still like to watch their, like, you know, I don't, it might just be my family, but there's certain shows that come on at a certain time and they watch it.
It's tradition.
Yeah, it's definitely that. And I tried convincing my grandmother. They have a camper, and she wanted a TV in there, and DirecTV couldn't help her with her thing to get a cable box in there. I was like, why don't you just get a Roku TV? She was like, what's that? I was like, it has all these streaming platforms and all these things, and it's cheaper than cable. You just throw it in there, and you'll be fine. You can even get it for your house. She was like, well, can I watch my normal shows on there? I was like, oh, shit.
Well, with Hulu Live, you can.
I was like, well, with some streaming platforms, you might be able to. And she goes, oh, well, I'll just forget about it. I was like, oh, man, just get away with the cable. Jesus Christ.
And
stop with the cable.
And when Hulu announced that they were doing live TV, that's what finally convinced me to get rid of cable TV.
That's what killed cable.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
If this was a topic of is cable dying because of subscription services, yes.
Yeah.
The companies aren't, because
I mean,
the same companies that are trying to sell you cable TV are the same companies that are trying to sell you subscription services.
And are the same ones that do internet.
Yeah.
Like Xfinity, which is Comcast, which is NBC. These companies don't make money off of cable TV anymore, and they really don't make money off of landlines anymore. There are very few people that have landlines in their house anymore.
I don't. I haven't had a landline since, like, I don't know. It has to have been, like, 10 years since I've had a landline. Can you call my home phone, not my cell phone?
I haven't had landline in my house, oh my god, since the advent of unlimited calling.
Yeah, my grandparents finally did away with their landline, and you know, I'm a little proud of them, but then again, I gotta hear, why am I getting spam calls to my cell phone? Well, if they can't reach you by your home phone anymore, they're gonna reach you by your cell phone.
Yeah.
No. It's whatever. But they finally did away with theirs.
But I don't think that these companies like Warner Brothers and Disney releasing movies to their streaming platforms at the same time as releasing them to the theaters is honestly going to hurt them. I don't think it's going to hurt the movie industry, because
if HBO keeps doing it free, then it might hurt them. I realize they did it this for 2021 because of you know, COVID, and people didn't want to get sick, and they were trying to be safe and be courteous and just say, hey, we got you guys this year. All our movies are free for 30 days this year, and they'll release with the movie theater. I don't think that's going to continue in 2022. You might have to pay a premium. Who knows? But I feel like they found a lot of success this year with it, with their subscription service. I think that's why they delayed some movies, like The Batman, and there's another movie coming out next year that Warner Bros. Is making, The Flash. I think they delayed those so they could make more money off them. But, oh, well, I got to go to the movie theater. Oh, no.
So some of these companies, like Warner Brothers, they do have some movies that they only release to theaters. It doesn't release all of their movies to HBO Max for free. We know this. The big quote-unquote blockbuster movies, they do. You know, King Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus King Kong. They released that. Tom and Jerry the Movie, they released to HBO. Dune, they released to HBO Max.
Snyder Cut.
What's that?
Snyder Cut. They didn't release that to theater, though. That was
Matrix
strictly HBO.
Matrix 4 will be released to HBO Max as well. But, again, there are people that don't want to pay for the streaming service because there's nothing else on there that they want to watch. So they're still going to go to the movie theater to watch these movies, because, let's be honest, who in my generation and your generation is not going to want to watch Matrix 4?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, that's going to be, and that's so, and there are certain movies that you absolutely have to go to the theater to watch. Matrix 4 is one of them. Yeah, it'll come to HBO Max. Am I going to watch it at home?
Sorry to cut you off. You can continue.
No, you're fine.
Mine's, I was going to switch topic just a little bit.
But
I don't think the movie theaters, because the discussion tonight was, do we think movie theaters are going to die, you know, not be a thing because of streaming services? I think we've come to the conclusion of, no, they won't. People will do what people do. People
right.
will make money. Movie theaters are just too big to, you know, go bankrupt. What I think will start dying and will be phased out relatively soon is the Blu-ray and DVDs. I think those are going to go, because, I mean, why would a company spend the money to make the case, the artwork, the, you know, the disc on for some people to just walk past it in a store, when chances are they either already have the subscription service, or if they want to watch that movie forever and all time, they'll get it. I think it's kind of a sad thought, but I think Blu-ray and DVDs, they're going to go extinct because of streaming services. Now, are people going to buy them because they want to own the movie? Of course. People will still buy them, but I think they'll see a plummet in sales, and then it'll just go kapoof.
So, I kind of have to disagree a little bit, and I'll tell you why. So, I haven't bought a movie in a really long time. When new movies stopped being released to, but last year, I think 2019 was the last time probably early 2000s was the last time I actually bought a movie, because movies just weren't being released.
Yeah, I think the last one I bought was last year, and I didn't watch it until, like, last month. It's just been sitting
right.
in my room, and I didn't watch it.
I think Blu-rays will hold on. I don't know about 4K, because that's still that's kind of like the HD DVD right now. So HD DVDs were the precursor to the 4K.
You don't know. I gotta take a massive shit. I gotta take off my bundle for this one. Oh.
Anyway, moving on. Turn the fucking fan on. Anyway.
I'm gonna let it simmer.
So I think that Blu-rays are still going to be around, because
let me ask you this.
Okay.
Does anybody in the world, I know there's people out there that do, I think those people are weird, but I get it. Who still plays VHS tapes? Who still has a VHS player in their home? Or VCR?
Right. Right.
Because of the Blu-ray and the DVDs, people got DVD players and Blu-ray players.
Right.
But now you can get a smart TV with all those movies on it. You don't have to go to the store and buy the disc for $30. You don't have to go and buy a separate thing for it. I know not all movies get released to streaming services, but, you know.
So I'm gonna correct you a little bit. So you're saying, you know, like VHSs are gone and the VHS tape and stuff like that. If we take VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, and HD DVD, we take them all together. We lump them all into home video because that's what they are. Mm-hmm. They are home videos. That's like saying that, you know, music is going to go away or, you know, CDs are going to go away because of the advent of MP3s, which it is starting to. They are less and less. The biggest draw for Blu-ray, and this is one for me, the biggest draw for Blu-ray is the special features that are on it. That's the biggest draw for very
HBO
very
has special features
on some movies, not on a lot, not on all of them.
Well, on the ones that people want them on.
Right. So for somebody like, I am a collector of movies. We all know this. I've been collecting them since VHS. So the home video experience I think it's going to be at least 10 years before we see.
Yeah, I don't mean it's going to, I don't think it's going to go away like tomorrow, but I do think Blu-ray and like the physical copy of having a movie is going to become obsolete. Because if you make a movie and you want to make money off of it, you got to be smart about it. You can't just be stubborn and say, well, I'm only going to release it to Blu-ray because I want to stick with the time and I want to stick with tradition. How many movie studios are you seeing that are releasing on VHS? Zero. How many studios in 10 years do you think are going to be releasing their movies on Blu-ray? Probably not that much.
The thing is so movies – movie studios, they don't make their money off of box office. They make their money back from box office. When we look at revenue coming in to movie studios from certain movies, it's not the movie itself that or the release to the theater that makes money for the studio. Most times studios will make their money back and maybe a little bit extra, but that extra goes to, you know, the executives, the advertising and stuff like that. Movies, really where movies make their money and where studios make their money is, and this is slowly starting to diminish and they're going to have to figure it out, but it's still true. Studios make their money from merchandise and from home video sales. A lot of people are still purchasing Blu-rays and even DVDs because they don't want to spend that extra money for a streaming service when they have cable. And all their shows are on cable and stuff like that. They don't want to spend the money for the streaming service. And there are some movies that you cannot find on any streaming service that you have to have a Blu-ray or a DVD or even a VHS for. There are some movies that are just not on any streaming platform. Jeepers Creepers is one of those. You can't find that on any streaming platform, even Amazon Prime.
I don't think that's due to the limitations of it. I think that's just because nobody wants to make a deal with Jeepers Creepers and support what, you know, had happened.
Right. But I use that as an example. There are plenty of other movies out there that you can't find on a streaming service, and the only way that you can find them, or even TV shows, like older TV shows, that you can only find on home video.
I'd give it like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a half hour left of the show.
Yeah.
So I don't think that...
It'll be me by the time you get to it.
Okay. I think that eventually the home video disc or the home video cassette or whatever it is, I think that in time, and I would even give it more than 10 years, I would probably say a good 20, 25 before that medium is abolished completely.
A maximum I would give is 10 years. I feel like we even see it now. How many homes can you walk in and they have some type of device that can play a Blu-ray or a DVD? It's not a lot. Not a lot of people in America have a Blu-ray player or a DVD player. There's some. They might be old. They might not work anymore. They might own them. But they're sitting in the basement or the attic, and they don't use them. Because the movies that they own, they can just, you know, do they have it on a streaming service home? No? Well, I guess we're not watching it.
Yeah. We actually have a caller.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the Cinephiles. Who are we talking to tonight?
Hello, boys. My name is Joe. I saw your show and you're discussing movies and TV. Have you guys ever seen 60 Days In?
I don't know that I have seen that.
Okay, it's supposedly a reality show in which civilians go undercover into jails around the country.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes of it.
Yeah, well, there's a few like that. About 60 Days In, Women Behind Bars, and some other types of shows like that. But 60 Days In, from what I've seen, is the most interesting one. I wanted you guys' opinions to see how you thought about it if you had seen it, because I'm beginning to feel that it's fake. And as it's fake, they're risking the lives of the civilian participants who go undercover in actual jails. So you guys haven't seen this, so you can't comment on it.
Okay. I don't know. From the episodes I've seen and from the experience I have of the show, I think there's some things that are a bit scripted and built up for the sake of TV, for ratings and stuff. But for the most part, I believe it is real. Like, they're trying to find some type of evidence and trying to make the prison system better. But yeah, I can agree. It's endangering the lives of certain civilians and certain participants because they're not ready for that sort of thing. I think they could choose their participants a little bit better.
A lot better. You'd have to think, why, if their objective is to try to find drugs, try to prevent fights, before they happen, try to improve the conditions of the jail, even do maybe, well, their objective isn't really rehabilitation, but to try to improve the conditions. You're not going to pick participants as though you're on a game show and you're saying, come on down. There are obvious participants who patently do not belong in jail as undercover people. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, whether or not the intention is actually to improve the conditions, or somehow there were negotiations between the state and the producers to put in these particular types of people, not to improve the conditions of the jail, but simply to create drama for ratings. And at the same time, they're endangering the lives of these idiots who go in there. Some people go in there, they're cops or corrections officers. They kind of know what's going on within the jail. But civilians who never, ever even touched a gun, who've never even talked to an inmate, and they're going in there, and they're going to try to be undercover specialists. So, you know, the whole idea, the premise is ludicrous.
Yeah. I can definitely agree with that. Make a good point.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've done some binge watching over the last few days. It's interesting as hell. But the more that I watched, I'm saying to myself, this person can't navigate her way around a supermarket, and she's going to try to get information on drug dealers. So, okay. So, if you saw a few episodes, was it interesting to you, or was it just another reality show?
It was a bit interesting. I like the concept of it. But, like you said, it was a bit weird how they would choose inexperienced people to go undercover when they don't have, you know, the proper training or anything like that. And some of them got busted. They got outed as being undercover, and it, you know, ruined the whole thing, their whole project. But, yeah, you know,
it's interesting. Yeah, one of them volunteered to tell one of her is a lesbian. Told one girl that she fell in love with that she was actually undercover. So it's interesting as hell. But then when you take a look at it and you see all these cameras that are following all these criminals around, they have cameras in the cells. They can hear everything that's being said. You also have to wonder, why do they need these particular people to go undercover?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's for, you know, making money and ratings and stuff. But for the most part.
Yeah, but to me, it's an overreach of power by the government and some lack of empathy and sympathy for people who could be endangered. When you have producers who are willing to put people who are not trained into a real life, supposedly a real life situation in which they could get stabbed if it's found out that they're, you know, on the show. I'm going, okay, now, you can do a lot of things for money, but to do something like that and to have the people volunteer to do it, to have consensual stupidity, I'm wondering. Well, in any case, since you've seen it, what kind of genres do you guys like best?
We, for TV shows or movies or just in general?
Yeah. What do you like to discuss most, about TV? Yeah.
We discuss, you know, superhero genre, action, horror, basically any genre we can, you know, sit down and watch that we think is entertaining. We have a diverse, liking of genres.
What do you think about the new bisexual Superman?
You know, he does what he does. I mean,
to me,
I don't think it affects his capability of being a superhero or capability of having a good story. I know romance and relationships are a big part of superhero stories, but for the most part, it's just a guy or a girl trying to save a city, and they make a good story out of it. So,
if they're doing it just for the exploitation of LGBTQ, then it's wrong, obviously, because I don't think any race, orientation or anything should be exploited. But if they're doing it to move a story along, because Alex, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in the comic books, it is actually revealed that he is bisexual.
Yes. In a comic, Superboy, he He doesn't traditionally come out. He just kind of says, well, you know, not really focusing on this, but I like both of them, you know, is what he's basically saying. And he's not the only one in the DC universe or the Marvel universe. There's other characters that are a part of that whole group of people. And it doesn't really take away from their stories or from their characters. It kind of, it can build on the character and make them a better character, and then it can destroy the character. So far, I don't think we've seen an extreme sense where it destroys the character. But, you know.
If they use it, like I said, if they use it as exploitation, then it's just going to be wrong. If they use it as, you know, just, you know, a story element that, you know, hey, this is who Superman is, or this is who Superboy is, or this is who, you know, this person is, then I'm okay with it. You know, I don't have an issue either way, you know, because they don't use a straight superhero as exploitation. I don't think they should use a LGBTQ superheroes exploitation. If it's, you know, it should all be part of society anyway. You know, it should just be a normal thing. So to have a bisexual Superman or Superboy or whoever shouldn't be an issue.
Well, it would be if it was the original Superman. I mean, for 60 years, if he's been a straight alien and all of a sudden he's bisexual, that is introducing the woke culture. And I wouldn't think that would be proper, because all of a sudden you're changing around the traditional aspect of Superman. And this is not Superboy. This is the son of Superman. So he's entering the new culture of today. And I don't think it's exploiting the LGBT also. They've added on new letters. It's something like LGBTQTF, you know, it's almost about 12 letters long now. I think the furthering the advancement of bisexuality, lesbianism, etc. What I don't like about the new Superman is that they dropped for truth, justice, and the American way. They're dropping American way. And with the subtle intent of making people feel that America isn't great again, it's just another symbol and just another woke character. So I don't like that aspect of it. The fact that he's bisexual doesn't bother me. I've seen one cell of the series, and it's okay. Hopefully it'll be interesting. It probably will if you're going to have him kiss all the men besides his supposed boyfriend. Then I think it'd be exploitation of the LGBT. I don't think they'd like him going. Well, I don't know. Maybe they would like him going around just having sex with just anybody that he wants to. Who knows?
Well, if it's a show about his relationships and then Superman is on the side, then it becomes exploitation. It'd be the same if he was straight. It'd be the same if he was gay. Regardless of his orientation, it's straight exploitation if that's what they focus on. But if they focus on him being this superhero that's helping people out and trying to make the world a better place, and then, oh, yeah, you know, by the way, he's got a girlfriend. By the way, he's got a boyfriend. By the way, you know, he's this. Then it just becomes part of the natural essence of the TV show, and it just becomes part of the natural essence of society. I think that for too long here in America, we have looked down upon that part of our society. Europe, specifically Britain, has embraced that a lot more and has made that more of a norm within their society than we have. You look at TV shows like Doctor Who. which has been around for, you know, 50 plus years. They have like gay couples and lesbian couples and bisexual couples, and people just as normal everyday people. And I think that's the way it should be. I don't think it should be a taboo, and I don't think it should be in your face. I think it should just be a normal part of whatever TV show, whatever movie, whatever video, whatever form of artistic expression is out there. It should just be a normal part of it, because it should be a normal part of our society.
Well, the existence of bisexuality, homosexuality, et cetera, yeah, it's a normal part of our society, depending upon what you define as normal. And if he is going to be a superhero who is doing right for the world, right for America, et cetera, that's fine. But if they're going to direct their energies towards too many of his relationships, for example, he's supposed to have a boyfriend. Now, if he betrays that boyfriend and has relationships with a girl or a guy, that might be considered normal also. But it's also considered normally as cheating. And if they do that too often, I think the LG, et cetera, community will probably be up in arms saying that it is exploitation because you're depicting us as being cheaters. And when just because we're different doesn't mean we cheat on our significant others.
Right. Right. And I actually agree with you on that statement. I don't think that they should show him as overly promiscuous, because that's not who Superman is.
It goes the same with whatever, superhero shows and comics and stuff. You don't see, depending on the writer and depending on the story, generally, you don't see Batman and Superman going around sleeping with whoever and, you know, being raunchy and whatever. You know, that's not who they are. Generally, they're going around beating bad guys up. And, you know, at the end of the comic, it's revealed that they have a significant other. I think it'll just be that. But instead of it being a woman, it'll be a guy or a woman or whoever. You know, it'll just be the same thing, just a different gender. I don't really see a problem with that. I think it'll keep with quote-unquote tradition of the superhero shows and stuff of just focusing on the story and not on
the
who they have.
I hope so. I don't know about the other DC and Marvel superheroes who have multiple relationships. I don't know what their character is like. I know that when I was growing up, the older ones, like Batman, as you were saying, Green Lantern, Aquaman, they didn't have time for all these relationships. They weren't
right.
sleeping around. But I'm gonna have a feeling that this new Superman eventually will have some sort of calamity in his relationship, break up, find another relationship, break up with that one, find another relationship, and do it often enough that the LG, et cetera, crew will probably find it objectionable. I don't know, because again, this is a different Superman. This is the son of Superman. He should follow
right.
in his father's tradition. And Superman wasn't that interested in Lois Lane until later on, so many years later. Whereas Clark Kent was always interested in Lois Lane, but she was never interested in him. So I'd like to know how that. What does anybody know? What this guy's what his secret identity is?
The Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's John Kent. It's the son of Superman and Lois Lane, or Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
Yeah, but what does he do? Is he a reporter like his father, or what?
I think he's just a high school student.
Oh, yeah? Oh, so then he is a superboy then, huh?
Yeah.
I thought he was
he's
a man.
Still,
oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he's still young.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay, guys. I'll let you guys get back to your show, okay?
All right.
Thank you for calling in.
Take care.
And that caller actually goes, you know, right on par with what we were talking about at the beginning of the show with the, you know, gay couples, lesbian couples, whatever, being shown as normal members of society, you know,
yeah,
and the fact
you can't
that
just act like they don't exist. And like, yeah. I get superheroes are, they can do things that we can't, but they still humanize them by finding something that we can relate to. And I haven't read too much into Superboy or whatever. I haven't got too far into his character, but I'm sure there's something that relates him to my generation, because he's basically my generation Superman.
Right.
And the fact that he has come out as bisexual, that's just another thing for my generation to relate to, because whether out or not, there's more people that have come out as LGBTQ in my generation than there is yours or previous generations.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just something that they can relate to and make them feel more included into the genre.
Yeah, and I don't like to use this word, but it's the best word to describe it. There is a more awakening of sexuality within our society, and because I mean we have been. And anybody will tell you, America has been so sexually oppressed that it's, you know, unreal. There's been more of an awakening of sexuality within, specifically in America, that these genders and these orientations and these lifestyles, however you want to call them, are becoming more of a normal aspect of our artistic mediums. You know, it's more prevalent in music, it's more prevalent in TV shows, in movies, in comic books, in graphic novels, in regular books, in art. And that's the way it should be. You know, we shouldn't hide anybody. We shouldn't oppress anybody. We shouldn't, you know, seclude anybody. Everybody
yeah.
should be included within our society as long as you are a productive member of society, you know, and that's been who I am for as long as I can remember. I don't care who you are. I don't care your national origin. I don't care your color. I don't care your sexual orientation. I don't care your gender. It does not affect the way I live my life. The only thing that affects the way that I live my life is the fact of if you are a productive member of society. That's all I care about. I don't care what you want to identify as. I will call you whatever you want. I'll call you the Great Bear of China, if that's what you identify as long as you're a productive member of society. And that's how everybody should think.
Yeah,
and that's
I don't
my
care.
Soapbox. That's my soapbox. I'm sorry.
They can do what you want. I don't care. I just want to watch movies and read, you know, comics and watch TV shows about my favorite characters.
That's all
just
I
don't,
want.
You know, shove it down our throat and make it nothing but that. Because
right.
if you look at the flip side, they're not shoving down. Superman and Batman straightness isn't being shoved down our throat every 20 seconds.
Right.
I think it should be the same rules with the newer generation. Just don't shove it down our throat. They be with who they be with. That relationship can flourish. Just don't shove it down my throat, please. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's all that's what I care about. I don't want it to be oppressed, but I don't want it to be the main focus. I want entertainment. I don't care. I just want entertainment. I don't care if Superman is black. I don't care if Superman is Asian. I think it'd be weird, but it'd be interesting. It'd be different. I don't care if he's gay. I don't care if he's bisexual. I don't. it does not affect me unless that is the main focus of what that is.
Anyway, that was tonight's show. Hope you liked it. Thank you for callers who called in and talked to us.
Yeah, that was an interesting caller. Yeah. I didn't catch his name at the beginning. John, maybe?
Joe.
I think it was Joe. Yeah. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. So,
if you get a chance to call in this week, you can call in next week.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. Absolutely. But we are coming down to the last couple minutes of our show. I will say, I know we have not had a movie of the week in a long time. There are just things that have come up that we have not been able to. Last week, we didn't get a chance to watch a movie. The week before that, just nobody was in town. And this week, we will not be having a movie of the week because it is Halloween. So we will not be doing
Halloween is a Sunday.
That's right. We will not be doing a movie of the week on Sunday. However, stay tuned to both Behind the Screen and Wicked Curiosity Facebook pages because we just might be going live here and there every now and then. So, you know, check it out. I'll probably go live when I finish up all the decorations for the outside of the house so that everybody can see them in the daytime and the nighttime. So.
That just reminded me of that SpongeBob meme where Patrick's flipping the light. Daytime, nighttime. That's not SpongeBob, but was that? Whatever it's from, it reminded me of that.
So, daytime. And we may be
nighttime.
And we may be doing a couple live episodes while we're walking. So, who knows? Maybe you'll even see Wicked Willie the Curious Skull walking around. So. All right. As we are down to the last 5 minutes of the show, I want to say thank you to, obviously, Alex for being with me tonight. When the show started, I thought it was going to kind of be a little slow because there wasn't a lot of history that I could find. But we always managed to make it an interesting show. So thank you for that. Thank you for our caller. Thank you to our producer for, you know, helping us with the show and his lovely quips here and there. So, and then, of course, thank you to all of our listeners, followers, and supporters. We greatly, greatly appreciate you guys. We honestly wouldn't do this without you guys. We continue to grow as a company every week, and we greatly appreciate it. Stay tuned to the pages. There are changes that are going to be coming up here very, very quickly. We are going to be transferring to a new platform. I don't know if we're going to do it next month or the month after or even the beginning of the year. But we are changing platforms. So stay tuned to the pages for that. And we will put out all the information on how you can get a hold of us, on how you can listen and where you can find us. So, you know, go get on Wicked Curiosity Media's Facebook page because that's where the information is going to be posted. Other than that, I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic rest of your week. We will see you back here next Wednesday for Behind the Screen and Friday for Note by Note. Please remember to respect your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. And please remember, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye and good night. Be safe on Halloween. Don't do stupid stuff.
Yes. Yes, definitely be safe on Halloween. All right. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.